Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants of this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. And cast tapes live at 5 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays. Check out my Twitter feed, ANNZAG, for more. Enjoy the show! Hey everybody, welcome to ANCAST. I'm Zach Burchy. Jacob's here.
Hey there, everybody.
Here is a strong word.
I'm here in body, and then my spirit is about 30% present.
Yeah, I would say I'm at 20%.
70% of it is sort of like, you know, you've seen an anime where it's hanging out of somebody's mouth.
That's yeah. Where it's, yeah. My brain is operating, I would say, at roughly 20%. We have not had anything resembling a day off in 2.5 weeks, and then in there was the busiest 5 days of our lives, Anime Expo 2016, during which Preview Guide began. We complain about this every year, but it's hard to overstate, really, you know, well, how busy it really is. So we were at Anime Expo. How was it?
It was good. I didn't spend a lot of time on the con floor because of Preview Guide, but the time I spent there was good. I thought the con was run pretty smoothly. Like, I heard about the woes, but none of those woes directly affected me, so for me, it was a very good experience.
Yeah, I have to say, like, so I also had a great time and a great experience at AX this year, but I feel like my experience... Now, I'm not going to characterize it one way or the other because I have not done enough talking to people about their experience yet, but I had a good time. A lot of the people I talked to said organizationally the convention was generally fine, so if you needed to get into a thing or get to a thing, you were okay. Travel was not that bad. It was as congested as you would expect for a convention with 100,000 people at it. But the problems people were definitely having were the same thing, where it takes like 10 minutes to get the line in the room. Right. So every panel is artificially truncated by like 5 minutes. And then also there was an AC problem in the artist alley, which was enormous this year.
Yeah, it was apparently bad enough that people got some heat exhaustion.
Yeah, and then on the third day, they were blasting the AC like so hard that I literally had to leave the press room upstairs because I was super cold.
Right.
Like, damn. Mm-hmm. Damn. Mm-hmm. And then there were some other problems. Oh, every single panel I was in, without fail, except for mine, because mine had no audiovisual component besides a microphone, had audiovisual problems. So the sound didn't work on the video. Like, poor Crunchyroll. I was sitting there in Crunchyroll's panel doing... They were trying their best up there. The video starts, no sound.
Yeah.
Nothing.
AV problems everywhere. Everywhere, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, that
was awesome. Well, but every panel had those issues that I saw. Obviously not all of them, but many of them did. And so I don't know what was up this year. Maybe they had all new people in AV or something. But other than that, honestly, it was a pretty normal convention. Like, AX is now getting within striking distance of San Diego Comic-Con's attendance. It needs to grow like this for another 2 years to match Comic-Con. It's going to be crowded. It's going to take forever to get most places if you want to wander the exhibit hall. Be prepared to shuffle. Like, that's just the normal convention experience at that size. In terms of managing the show floor, they got to get those lines under control big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Mm-hmm. Big time. Man, that was a tough... It's tough because, like, you're sitting there, the panelists are up there, they're ready to go. You're 10 minutes into your panel time. You prepare to think.
Right.
You have 50 minutes to get through it. Your panel gets artificially truncated. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. So some stuff I saw while I was there. I went to the Love Live thing. Mm-hmm. And I must say...
Nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet them.
Yeah.
That's all we did, though. They did not sing. There was no performance. I have to admit, I was a little stunned that they didn't sing at the Love Live event, but there were only 6 of the 9. They showed us the premiere before anyone else could see it. I should note, literal seconds before it went live on Funimation.com. Like, seconds. Like, the credits started while we were in the room, and yep, up it went on Funimation.
It was technically a premiere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so they brought the girls out, who were very talented, and so it was kind of stunning to me, because I didn't know that these ladies were, like, 18, 19, 20, because they come out, and they are trained to appear as though they are, say, 12, which gives them the appearance of being no older than, say, 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. And so when they came out, my initial instinctual reaction was, oh, that, like, where are your parents? Like, are you guys okay? Like, you're very cute. Where are your parents? Like,
it's funny because it's the exact opposite of American pop idol culture, where we train 14-year-olds to act like they're 23.
Yeah, it's so
it's
weird.
The exact opposite.
But so they came out, and we spent. There was a very enthusiastic announcer lady who was like, "So, what's your favorite ice cream?" And then the girl will put her finger to her cheek and take a while to get through her answer, which is strawberry. Like, it takes a while. She has to go,
I know. Strawberry.
And then the audience goes fucking nuts when she finishes the word. It's great. Like, they love it. And it was fantastic being in the room. And I gotta tell you, I had a moment.
Boston is reacting here.
I had a moment where doing that, for people not watching this show live, the little dumb, stupid voice I was making irritated Boston.
He was like, what?
Anyway. But so they showed videos of the girls performing, like lots of videos, like I would say 30 minutes worth of videos of these ladies performing live, and then also their music videos that are animated, which are beautifully animated, and their performing is wonderful. It's great to see. And you had the audience was pretty packed, not quite full, but pretty packed. They all had their pen lights going, and they knew all the moves to the songs.
Yeah, they were.
And they were enjoying the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're watching videos of these girls. It's surreal as hell, because we're sitting there watching videos of these girls perform. They're literally just chilling backstage.
How many of the Japanese fans were there?
I mean, I have no idea. Well, plenty that I saw. Mm-hmm. But
last year when they had Momo.
There
were Japanese fans that had come over, like, and you could tell, they were, like, their squad was here. So I was just wondering if there was, like, a squad here for this, but...
Yeah, right. No, I mean, I didn't see one. There probably was. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty surreal experience. But, so they're using these pen lights and everything, and honestly, like, you cannot help but get completely infected and feel all that love and all that enthusiasm. It was a great time. Like, they didn't perform, but I had a really good time. Those ladies are very talented. They only have, like, 2 songs right now, which I heard those 2 songs over the course of an hour and a half many times.
Yeah.
But they're both exactly the same, and they also blur together, so I couldn't tell. I was listening.
Blurs together, the devil, you said.
No, but I couldn't tell that it was the same thing over and over again. Uh-huh. Like, I was like, "Is this a different?" I kept leaning over to Bamboo, who was with me and was helping me through this experience, because she's a huge Love Life fan. I was like, "Are we listening to different songs? Like, are these? Are how many songs do they have?" No, this is the same 2 songs. Maybe it's just the same song over and over. And I was like, "Oh, wow!"
Too, right, the opening and the ending is pretty much all they're ready to reveal right now.
Yeah, it's it's pretty good. Anyway, so that was Love Live. I'm trying to think of what else I might have seen that was super cool. I mean, I spent most of my time in interviews. We have like 15 interviews from the weekend that are all going up over the course of the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. The first one will probably be Kazue Kato. That'll likely be soon, like early next week. We also have an interview going up with the director of the Gunplay line, the Gundam models at Bluefin. That's going up pretty soon. And then don't forget Vice and Luna Tuesdays. We're getting into a storyline. I'm excited about the storyline. Starts on Tuesdays. It's going to be good. Check it out. So what did you go to at AX that you, like, any comments on what you, like, saw?
I didn't really, I mean, I did my job, so I went to some press panels and
yeah,
stuff like
that's
that.
That's what we do at these things.
I didn't do anything, like, this was probably the least I've been out on the floor at AX, but I don't know, it was the usual. I saw a lot of cool cosplay, hit up the dealer's room. It was neat that artists, I mean, I'm sorry, I did not go on the day where everyone was dying of heatstroke, but I went on the day where there was AC in Artist Alley. It was really neat. It was enormous. The coolest thing I saw was probably the addition of these giant, there's a giant arcade arena, and there was a giant cosplay with backdrops area, so that was like 20 different backdrops, the themed backdrops that you could choose from. Like, there was like a Castlevania type thing, and then there was a school setting, and there was like a cutesy bedroom, and like fantasy, and Tory Gates, and like all this stuff. And it was, like, pretty nicely set up for if you had cosplay and you wanted to take a themed picture, like,
yeah,
plenty of space to do it. And, yeah, the arcade's really cool. But I didn't get to hit up any of that stuff because I was too busy, so I just saw it and I was like, that's really neat.
That stuff is cool, yeah.
But, yeah, AX was really impressive this year. I thought it was really neat.
Yeah, the PA Works 15th anniversary booth is really neat. They had a bunch of neat stuff in there. That was the kind of, that's the kind of thing you get to see at Anime Japan. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that is. So if more companies start bringing that stuff over, you might actually get the Anime Japan experience at Anime Expo eventually. And those cosplay things were, those were pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I was trying to think what else there was this year that really stood out. But honestly, most of that show is a blur.
I heard the Anison Matsuri thing walking by.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, well, yeah, well, I walked by outside the concert, and I heard the song, and I was trying to identify what it was from, and I think I eventually figured it out, and now I've forgotten. It was some big show. But I was like, oh, so that must be that person in there. But I was just proud of myself for having I remember. It was Leah. It was singing the Charlotte opening.
Oh, right.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, we did walk past that.
And,
that was interesting.
But yeah, I wish I could have gone to more things. I really do, but I was too busy. Maybe next time.
Yeah, we would have gone to the Shinkai film, but that was at a terrible, like, you know, conflicting with three other things we had to go to at the same time, so we weren't able to get anybody over there. I didn't go to One Punch. We had someone there, but I think it was a news guy, and there wasn't any news, so I didn't get to see any of it. People who were there say it was neat, but yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
AX, we worked.
We worked.
And did not see the cool, funny.
Yeah, we
things.
Worked.
We saw the like the work
stuff. I mean, okay, like no one else besides me and a dozen other journalists got to sit down with Shoji Kawamori for like 25 minutes
Very
and shoot
true.
The shit. I got to do that. That's cool. We got to interview the Love Lives. Like,
yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I ran two interviews. Those will probably be up on site soonish, and they were both really good. So I really enjoyed the two interviews that I did. So
yeah, it's cool shit, man. It's cool shit. All right, so we are in the middle, as of this recording, of the Summer 2016 Anime Preview Guide, which is live on Anime News Network right now. You can go check it out. Yeah,
so many shows.
This is
so many, and they're like a lot of chaff.
This is a toughie.
This is a toughie.
This is a toughie. I don't really. I like two, three shows. Three seem okay. Three that I will probably watch.
You know, it's a lot like last.
I've watched 12. We have had 21, 24 now. There's 10 or 11 more.
As far as chaff percentage, it is very close to last summer, which also had a high chaff percentage. But last summer, the theme seemed to be genre stuff. It was a lot of action, adventure, fantasy, sci-fi, stuff like that. And so even though there was more chaff, I was intrigued by a lot of stuff in the summer. Like that was when we had Gangsta and Raka. And both of those shows, you know, even though they both kind of completely exploded by the end. It was interesting to me because they were attempting something different and they were kind of unique. This season, the theme is more otaku and fujoshi stuff, like fujoshi summer.
Oh, yeah.
This is, there's how many idol shows? Like 3 idol shows, several reverse harem things, several sports things. Just it is fujoshi summer. So, that is less interesting to me than the all demos genre stuff, even if it train wrecks. So I, yeah, I this summer is a toughie.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Nothing's really jumping out at me. Yeah. There's a few things. I'm excited to see Mob Psycho. That should be good.
Yeah.
But other than that, so I haven't been contributing that much because I've been wrapping up all of our AX coverage, handling the comic strip and all these other things, bunch of features coming up. I did contribute a few things, but mostly I've just been watching stuff and trying to keep up as we go along. So I've contributed a couple of things to the guide. I mean, I was just kind of go down the list. Okay, so Berserk was the first thing we saw.
Right.
That was last Thursday or Friday. That was last Friday.
We were a lot nicer to it than basically everybody else.
Yeah, you and I took it pretty easy on it. I was forgiving of its sins. It has many sins. I was forgiving of them.
I think it's just because I really, really, really like that story, and so I'm just kind of happy to get more of it. And I was like, okay, the visuals are garbage, but I don't know, I want to see more of the story animated. So, and I kind of wrote my preview from that perspective, but I did give it a 4. I was like, I'm giving it a 4 just because I really want to see Berserk that much more, and I thought the pacing and the direction, like, the delivery of the information was really good. It's just the actual, like, CG is so painful, but the CG was too much, apparently, for most people, like, so.
Yeah, it's fucking rotten CG,
it's
man.
Bad.
It looks bad. It's not
bad.
Acceptable. Like, not in a modern production. I don't see how you could look at that and be like, yeah, it looks fine. Like,
yeah.
No way, man. It's like 1999. It doesn't look good. But I like Berserk. And, you know, it's been a long time since I've engaged with that story. Week to week, all right, I'll watch Berserk.
Right.
I know, like that, and also like I really like that cross-hatching thing they're doing, and the 2D, yeah, but the 2D stuff, I love the way it looks, and they do like those cuts are really nice.
Uh-huh.
So I will probably watch it just for those. Right. I'm shallow.
No, I'll watch it too. I mean, like that's like the one of the only like all demos genre thing this summer. Everything else is like 60-70% of it is four girls, and then the other is four otaku. Like, there's not much general audience fare. Like, there's no general audience fare.
That's okay. We'll roll with
the... Oh, that's my favorite stuff, so I'm like...
We'll roll with it.
Yeah, that's my favorite stuff. So, what is there, the general audience?
Well, I mean, I was going to run down what I had seen.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So, Taboo Tattoo. I don't know why I watched it.
Crappy.
But I did. 90s action show with terrible character designs. And shitty Chuny, like, so that show feels like you're hanging out with a bunch of Chuny kids who were like, I have secret powers. Oh, yeah, well, my secret powers cancel out your secret powers. Oh, yeah, well, I control the organization that created your secret powers. And it's like, all of you shut up. I'm going to go hang out with some cool kids. This is terrible.
At least they actually have the powers. Like, Rewrite is like that, but actually no. And I finished Rewrite just before we did the podcast because I was like, oh well, I need to have caught up, and so I should probably watch this like key anime that everybody is like literally melting and evaporating into sand over the process of attempting to watch. So I tried to watch it and the same thing happened to me. I was like, it was very end of Indiana Jones. How is this still going? I can feel the life leaving my body. Like that. What I'm saying is Rewrite is the worst show of the season.
Okay.
It's really terrible. It's like if you don't really like the, like, I'm pretty it depends on, it's, I'm pretty case by case when it comes to Jun Maeda, but if you don't like his style of writing visual novel stuff, like Rewrite is like if somebody took that and then just put it on autopilot with like no emotional investment and no like decency of pacing or comedic timing whatsoever, and they just slathered these archetypes out in front of you and these plot beats out in front of you, and then it lasted 45 minutes because, or was it longer than that? It's like 47 minutes because they decided to do a double length premiere episode.
Rewrite's the one you can watch all of right now, right?
No, that's
Relife, sorry,
which was perfectly fine. I haven't watched more than just the first episode, but it was like, this is fine, this is nice.
Yeah, well, I saw the runtime on Rewrite, and I was like, nope. I'll let the team handle that one.
Yeah.
I did watch Orange. I'm not sure if I'm going to watch the rest of the show or just read the manga, but yeah. It's only 3 volumes, and apparently the whole thing's on Crunchyroll, so I could just go read that and not watch the show. The show looks great, though. Like, it looks really good. I really love the direction on that show.
Right, but you can tell, like, you can... Absolutely. They did a good job trying to hide it, but you can absolutely tell the scenes and shots and stuff like that that they added to get the story up to 12 episodes and the stuff that was in the source material.
Right, which is why I'm thinking of just reading the manga instead.
Right, and all, the stuff that they added is just all lackadaisical, we're hanging out with friends stuff, which is fine. It does help add to the atmosphere, but it's noticeably not necessary.
Yeah. Cheer Boys.
I like that a lot.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good for a free alike.
Yeah.
It's fine. It reminds me of Dear Boys, interestingly.
Dear Boys.
It does remind me a little of Dear Boys. Dear Boys does remind me of Dear Boys. Does anyone remember Dear Boys? I you know, if you listen to the show, you remember Dear Boys and it reminds you of Cheer Boys, then get on me. Get on my team.
Get on your level.
The Cheer Boys, Dear Boys team.
No, I like the I liked the comedy character. So I do like Free, like it's fine, it's fun. But Free is very much puppy men for the consumption by girls.
Yeah.
And Cheer Boys, they seem like normal people. Like,
yeah, it's a little more standard sports.
A little more standard sports. And but so they have a Ray character. If you know Ray from Free, he's the like super nerdy, awkward, trying to turn everything into like a mathematical equation, like social interactions into math or whatever. They have a character like that in Cheer Boys, but he's normal, and for some reason that actually made him way funnier to me than Ray from Free, because he's so awkward, but in a way that like the one awkward guy in the anime club is awkward. And is a great scene where they come back home and he's like trying to endear himself to them so that they'll let him join their cheer club. Which they don't have to, because nobody else wants to join. But he thinks he has to make a good impression. So he's like, I'll open this window. And he walks over, and there's like a solid 60 seconds or so of him trying to open the window. And he says, looks like it won't open. And they just all stand there staring at each other. It's that kind of thing where it's very low-key, but it's funny. So, yeah, I liked Cheer Boys. It was very low-key and not, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, well, this probably isn't going to sell, but I dig it. So, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's... That's a little more in-depth than I got with it, but yeah, it was pleasant. I liked the animation in some places. Jesus, I tried to watch... So I watched Servamp, which I don't feel I need to say anything more about other than fucking yawn. Like, oh my god. Like, Fujoshi stuff can be so boring. So boring. Like, otaku stuff usually has to like try to dig to the bottom of the taste barrel to try and find something shocking to sell DVDs. Fujoshi stuff doesn't, because it's still sort of in its relative infancy.
I have a theory. Not infancy, but like I have a theory as to why Fujoshi stuff, when it's bad, is more boring, therefore worse than otaku stuff. But otaku stuff at its best is not as good as Fujoshi stuff is at its best. And my theory is that Fujoshi stuff relies on what it's selling you usually is emotional investment, whereas otaku stuff is selling you more, checklists, checkbox, like for what you want sold to you, whether visually or in terms of fetish appeal or whatever. And so, like, otaku stuff, at its worst, is going to be ticking off weird boxes that you can't really look away from, whereas Fujoshi stuff, at its worst, is just failing to invest you emotionally, so it's boring. But Fujoshi stuff, at its best, will succeed in emotionally investing you, and therefore feel like it's kind of surpassing, like, it's not really, it surpasses the gender demographics thing, kind of like how Ouran High School Host Club has a significant number of male anime fans. Like, a lot of dudes are totally down with Ouran because it succeeds emotionally and it's funny. Whereas good otaku stuff, like, it's still having... Even if the story is absolutely fantastic, you're still having to kind of forgive or overlook or push past the fact that a lot of it is just in there to be a fetish.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that is my theory on how that all breaks down. But yeah,
it makes sense.
Obviously, it's super case by case, but if you had to, like, throw a giant blanket around stuff, I would say some of that holds up to trends.
Yeah, all I know is Servamp was really fucking boring. And when I finished it, I thought, well, I don't really want to watch another Fujoshi thing. And it's nothing against Fujoshi stuff, it's just I was kind of bored of the cute boy parade and the chibi reaction humor. So I was like, I'll watch this thing called Ska Red Rider Zex, which can't possibly be... Now it's based on an Otome game.
That was the second worst thing, I think, of the season so far.
Which was just terrible, by the way.
It's only not worse than Rewrite. Like, it's literally only not worse than Rewrite because it's shorter. Because it's half the length. But otherwise, it's that Scar Red Rider thing. Incomprehensible, trying to be funny and emotional at the same time, obviously achieving neither. Garbage animation. Bad.
We're gonna say that one falls beneath the Naruto line for sure.
I think it has the lowest ratings.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna make the daily streaming.
First Love Monster, I think, is the other one that has the lowest ratings. Also,
woof. Yeah, yeah. I did like New Game. I thought it was cute. Kind of weird fan service on those like little cutesy characters, but it was pleasant. It was fine. It seemed kind of cute. I kind of like Workplace Girls. I think it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing's ever going to be as good as Shirobako, but mm-hmm. Workplace Girls, I guess, for whatever reason, I'm okay with it right now.
You say that. You never tried to watch Servant X Service.
I did. It was really boring.
Yeah.
I did. Super boring.
But no, I saw a New Game as well. It was perfectly fine, yeah. Like, I mean, like, this season's so weak that, like, New Game has energy and, like, dynamism and the pacing's pretty good, so it like automatically beats out a lot of the stuff that you just
it's just a lot of chaff.
Like 30, yeah.
Yeah. I'm almost at the end of what I got to go through here. I watched Regalia, which is lesbian lolis in mechs, like Nanoha type of thing.
Yeah, which is a
not my stuff, not my genre, not my thing. I am not into it.
Absolutely.
And it's all sci-fi lore-y, like obfuscating the real backstory and all that shit from you, so yeah, no thanks. Not for me. Check out. It's a Grandpa Simpson gif. Like, ooh, walk out. And then finally, just today, since this season preview guide isn't over yet, I did watch Planetarian, which is based on the Key Kinetic novel, which I also played part of, at least. And it's really good. I liked it a lot. I'm going to watch the rest of that. It's only 5 episodes. It's like a little thing. Yeah, yeah. Which, great. That's fine with me. But it's just about a guy in the post-apocalypse, crappy post-apocalypse society, who finds a sort of discarded or forgotten...
mall kiosk bot.
A mall kiosk, yeah, Chobits robot that's up there.
Her job is to sell tickets to the planetarium, and she's like one of the only things that survived the apocalypse, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be very, very sad. Mm-hmm. But I like it a lot. It's well made. It's nice. That's a good show. I'll be watching that, and Berserk, and Orange. Maybe Orange. So far. So that's... You know what? That's actually pretty average for me for a season. I think it's just the amount of shit. This is the biggest summer season yet, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's just the amount of stuff. That's all. And yeah, 91 Days and Mob 100, those are all going
to
come out. So
yeah, and I'm also looking forward to, there's a Barakamon prequel. I love Barakamon.
Right.
And more Danganronpa. So those have...
Oh yeah, that hasn't happened yet either. Yeah. So I mentioned my premieres. Was there anything that you wanted to dig into before we get to the Twitter questions?
Yeah, what else did I watch? All the stuff you mentioned, I like Planetarian too. The thing that jumped out to me about Planetarian is that the heroine is, she's like a late 90s. What we thought of in the late 90s as Moe, which means it's not as childlike.
Right.
She acts like a woman in her 20s who, like, it might be a good cook and a good homemaker or something. Like, it's still fantasy wife, but it's like, oh my goddess, or Chobits, which is different. And I'm like, oh, I kind of missed that. And so, yeah. So I like Planetarian. And cute High Earth Defense Club love is back. It's funny. I remembered that show being funny, but it's also really poorly animated, and it was a while ago, so I wasn't sure if I would enjoy returning to it. But no, actually, I'm really glad it's back, because I laughed pretty hard watching the first episode. So,
cool.
Yeah, well, what else was there? There's Fujoshi Sports Things, and Love Live is back, which I was on.
I liked Love Live. I thought it was cute.
It's cute. I thought it was trying really hard compared to what Love Live used to be like. It needs time. But I thought out the gate they were piling all the girls in there, and there was a lot of yelling and screaming and mugging compared to what I was used to. And I was like, trying a little hard, Love Live, you're trying a little hard. But okay. So overwhelmingly, the best anime I saw this season by like a wide margin was this Sweetness and Lightning thing.
I haven't watched it yet.
Really cute. And when I say really cute, I don't mean like super... I don't mean, like, Love Live. I don't mean, like, super sugary, like, this is the cutest thing ever, and it feels almost sinister. It's so cute. I mean, like, single dad raising his kid decides to learn how to cook because he realizes that he's depriving his daughter of decent food because he only gives her microwave meals or whatever. Like, it succeeds because the kid, much like Barakamon, again, we're getting a prequel to that soon, but the thing that made Barakamon so special was that the children acted like children and were played by actual Japanese kids, not voice actresses. So, same thing here, where the little girl acts like an actual little kid, like she talks about, like, poop and makes bad jokes and is kind of hyperactive and gets in the way and stuff like that, but it feels genuine. And she's played by, like, an actual small child. So that's really cool, and the pacing was really great, the music was really lovely, and it was really well animated, and it was like, oh, this is really nifty. I'm excited to see where this goes. So Sweetness and Lightning is definitely the best show this season, but I'm eager to see Mob Psycho and Honda-kun and Danganronpa, which, I mean, Danganronpa is not going to be the best of the season or anything. It's just the thing I'm most, like, I need this because I love that franchise so much. So.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's an action-packed summer.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Fujoshi stuff everywhere.
Yeah. There's a shit ton of it. We got more to get through. So let's get these Twitter questions out of the way. All right. Invalid Name asks, advice for first-time Anime Expo attendees, when to register, when to get there. Okay. If you're going to go, decide now. Register now. Buy your tickets right now. Book your hotel right now. If you don't want to wait in the giant lines, you're going to have to pay for the premier fan experience. There will be huge lines. But if you pick, like, two or three things you really want to see and just, you know, kind of enjoy the atmosphere of the con, you probably have a good time. If you've never been to an anime convention before, honestly, maybe don't go to AX for your first one. Pick something smaller. Mm-hmm. It's pretty overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff, especially this year. If that was my first anime con, my brain would just be, like, all over my hotel room.
Yeah.
Like, no way to see it all. So, yeah, I don't know. It's overwhelming. Try your best to manage it, but early, 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 early. Just do everything early. Shows like that, everything sells out immediately, so just do it all super early and you won't have to worry about it. Kind of Floto asks, what's your opinion on Crunchyroll going into home video? Good for them. Mm-hmm. Seems like a natural move. Seems like a side business that they can shutter if it's not doing what they want and not really impact their main business that much. They're probably sitting on a lot of those rights. Because, you know, typically when you license something, as Justin was explaining at our panel this past weekend that I forgot to record, sorry about that. Justin was explaining that typically when you license something, they want to give you all of the rights. So all the streaming, the worldwide, and home video. But they also don't like it if you just don't do anything with the home videos. So Crunchyroll is probably sitting on a ton of home video rights that they can exploit. I think it's cool they're putting out Cabinary. The people that work there care a lot about anime, so I'm pretty sure they're going to put out a good product. At least it seems like it. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. Who knows if they're going to totally fuck it up or not. We'll see. But DVD and Blu-ray is such a side business now that I feel like this is a big deal to us older fans and to collectors and stuff, but not that big a deal to, you know, rank and file anime fans anymore, you know? But good for them. Hopefully it goes well for them. Let's see. Dylan Dumais asks, was it a good idea for Love Live Sunshine to feature new cast, or should it have been a new non-Love Live show? Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I mean, they needed new blood, right? You can't just have the same girls over and over. The idea is to franchise it. So.
Well, yeah, the idea is that they're school idols, which is to say that they don't serve under a manager. Like, so the thing that makes Love Live different is, unlike Idolmaster and AKB48 and stuff like that and Wake Up Girls, they're not managed by anybody, which is actually what made it more successful with, like, little girls and women and stuff like that, is that the skis was somewhat removed by the girls being their own manager and in control of their own thing, because it's technically a school club, but they happen to get famous through it. Like, that was the whole gist of Love Live. That's why it exploded. That's what made it so different from all the other idol shows. Like, men and adults don't exist in this entire world, mostly. Like, adults kind of exist, but no boys. And so that's weird. Like, that's interesting. And so, yeah, the entire reason that they had to change the cast is because these girls left high school. And so, therefore, in order to change that, you'd have to have them take on a real idol job. And, you know, like, I think they just wanted to keep the school thing going because they're like, oh, we hit every demographic. Otaku love this. Women love this. Little girls love this. everybody loves this. So yeah, the problem with that is now you got to get all these new girls. You got to get everybody loving them too. And like I said in the first episode, I think they tried a little hard, but I'm willing to give it some more time. I just think that they dove in a little hard at the beginning of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked at it a little bit more favorably than you. It seemed like perfectly fine Love Live torch handing off to me.
Right.
Like, whatever. It seemed fine.
Yeah, there was a lot of screaming.
It's Love Live. Julian Moran asks, D-Gray Man, hello. Ushio and Tora, why do you think we're getting a resurgence in titles getting completed? Because there's a glut of content.
Yes.
Everything's getting produced, so they're going to go back to anything that was even kind of popular.
Back to that well.
Yeah, if there's a bunch of manga sitting around unadapted from a show that was previously popular, why not bring it back? Do it again. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Evan Jones asks, crowding issues, air conditioning problems, safety hazards, organizational nightmares. Do you think Anime Expo has hit the wall? No, I don't. I don't think they had that horrible a year. I think every year there's a lot of problems. I think this year they had a lot of new management. They went through a lot of shit. I'm not giving them a pass or anything. But I've seen, like, okay, it's hard for me to sound, to take a lot of this stuff super, like, this has to be the worst ever, because I didn't hear that much complaining. It doesn't seem like it was the worst ever. And I was there for, like, four of the worst evers.
Yeah.
And saw this convention when it was absolutely on its fucking knees and falling apart. Mm-hmm. And it is nowhere near that right now.
Right.
So it's tough for me to be super weird about it, I guess. Like, it seemed okay. There were some problems because there's so many goddamn people there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this year, I thought, was, like, remarkably navigable and in good shape, considering they broke attendance records again to the tune of over 100,000. I really thought AX was pretty good shape this year. It was the least trouble I've ever had navigating it.
Yes. Speaking of AX, a lot of questions about the AX. It's now going to be, quote-unquote, 5 days. It's not really a fifth day. It's a preview night, which is what San Diego has, which makes sense considering San Diego has roughly the same attendance as Anime Expo now. Mm-hmm. God, what a weird world we live in. So preview night exists as kind of a release valve for attention, so you can get people in and get them satisfied having walked the exhibit floor and then get them out. And it actually is kind of a good thing for crowd control. It's not great for vendors who have to work an extra day on an already super long convention if they don't add a bunch of convention activities on that night. So if they don't put, you know, have a bunch of screenings and panels and shit, which they largely won't. It's largely just going to be, I would imagine, if they do it like San Diego, just the exhibit hall. And maybe one or two small things. That's basically just as it currently exists, except the exhibit hall is now open on day zero for a few hours. That's it. I don't really see it as a major change. It certainly doesn't change the amount of time we're going to have to spend there. So,
right.
Yeah. Let's see. Miles, our friend from Crunchyroll, asks, do you think producers should be guests of honor at Anime Expo? It's against AX policy because they're not quote-unquote creatives. Yeah, they should be. Absolutely guests of honor. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
That's really strange. I feel like maybe
if I get a chance to complain to them about that, I'm going to.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that's maybe they put that rationale there for whatever reason. Like, feel like maybe the actual rationale is probably more like that they don't think fans would be as interested in seeing them. Maybe, I don't know, but yeah, like, producers are absolutely creatives. Like, that's producers are creatives. So maybe it's more of a, like, well, it's not a draw for the audience or something. So I have no idea.
Yeah, weird. All right. A Mind Half Full asks, if it's not too late to get questions in, what was the most impressive cosplay you saw at AX? I saw a ton of stuff. I mean, so a lot of, like, League of Legends and similar. I don't really know the character. I know it's from League of Legends. Or
I know it's 9 feet high. But
yeah, and it's 9 feet tall or whatever, and it's got LEDs and shit on it.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is super impressive. I saw a bunch of good Overwatch cosplay that I appreciated and enjoyed. Lot of One Punch Man, really fit guys doing One Punch Man.
Right.
So that was fun. Really good Love Live. I saw some really, really impressive Love Live costumes.
There was a lot more Love Live this year than ever.
Yeah, because they were there.
Yeah,
that's
so,
usually the way.
It makes sense. I'm just saying, like, it was a lot more. Usually you think, oh, that's like kind of a smallish group of people. No, there's a ton of Love Live, like noticeable.
Oh yeah, a fuck ton of Undertale.
Oh,
like
yeah.
a lot of Undertale, and like no Steven Universe.
Yep, I think, I mean, like, not no.
Not
I did
no,
see some,
not none. I saw some.
But
the dealers, the artist's alley was like 70% Steven Universe, 20% Overwatch, 10% like Voltron.
Right.
Netflix Voltron, by the way, seems popular with the...
Yeah, it is taking kids. Off. It was...
Well, but at the same time, no Steven, like, Steven Universe wall to wall in the artist's alley, almost no, like, not much cosplay that I saw. So who knows? Who knows? It's fun to watch, try and figure out, like, it's not a really good way to figure out the trends, but it's fun to watch. Let's see here. Onikuno asks, do you think Pokemon Go poses a danger to society by making people traverse into dangerous places just to get rare Pokemon?
Yes. Oh, we're going to see some headlines.
Yeah, there will be some. I hope nothing unfortunate.
No, I really don't want anything bad to happen, but there's going to be some Darwin Awards shit happening. Just please, people, just be safe, be smart. It's not worth, like, I was dying to try out Pokemon Go last night, but it was like 11:30 p.m. and I wasn't gonna go wandering out looking for Pokemon. Like, it's just not worth it. Just keep in the back of your head, like, a year from now, are you gonna care that you went out to get that Dratini in that back alley? No, you're not. So,
well, specifically, you're not gonna go, like, wander around a college campus at, you know, 1 a.m. you know,
right,
looking for Pokemons.
Yeah, just
don't do that.
Be careful where you go and when, and like, look both ways before crossing the street. Don't look down at the app if it buzzes while you're in the crosswalk. Just don't do it.
Oh, it says here there's a Diglett in the back of Shifty's Liquor. Well, I gotta knock on this door with a slot on it, and yeah. Our Hopper 237 asks, what was the most cosplayed property at Anime Expo this year? Overwatch, Love Live, Undertale, One Punch Man. What else?
I mean, that about covers it.
I was happy with all the Overwatch cosplay. Uh-huh. Although, I didn't see a single Mercy. Not a single one. I did buy some bootleg merchandise in the dealers, in the artist alley. Not in the dealer's room, in the artist's alley, which is where that stuff is sold for now. It was nice. It's good. Okay. Aquajaka asks, do you think it's high time that a Comic-Con-like should come about, given the almost 600 tablers at AX Artist Alley? So, geez, you might be able to do it. That's a really interesting idea, like an American Comic-Con. Like, you have to wonder if the copyright holders would be... Because, I mean, that only exists at the mercy of... No pun intended. At the mercy of the Japanese rights holders. Like, they let it happen. I'm not sure that would happen here. So, if you had, like, a big, you know, copyright infringement festival... Because that's what it would be. It would not be everyone's original work. Like, if I went and I tabled and I had, like, Vice and Luna Prince, I would need Kylo Ren and Overwatch to get anyone to look at my table, and they wouldn't buy Vice and Luna at all. So, you know, that's what you're talking about. That's what you're talking about here. Okay, that actually wraps up the Twitter questions. Do we have time for one or two questions from the chat? Does anybody have a question? Where do you draw the line between fan art and bootleg merchandise? Okay, this is a good question, because I joke around about it a lot. I call it bootleg. In spirit, I know that fan art really is it really is sort of different. Mm-hmm. I would not, honestly, you would not hear me say anything about it if Cartoon Network came in and said, hey, everyone who's in here making money on Steven Universe, you don't have any right to do that. We're going to shut this down. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say anything, but that's their right to do that. That's if Rebecca Sugar said, hey guys, stop selling homemade plush dolls of Steven Universe characters. I would not fault her for that. I don't think there's anything wrong with enforcing your copyright. I also don't think there's anything wrong with letting it go on, provided it's just fan art. Mm-hmm. Provided it's not mass-produced fan art where you have a print of Captain America and you're selling thousands of them. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't own Captain America. Yeah. There is... I feel like the line has to be drawn, but... I mean, I love fan art. I love buying fan art. I bought Star Wars fan art. I bought it from the artist alley. I love it. I acknowledge that this might not be here forever. I do not fault the rights holders if they want to exercise their rights, but I'm still going to go down there and buy the cute little Kylo Ren sticker. I'm still going to do that. It doesn't. I don't feel that makes me a hypocrite. It just, it means I'm acknowledging the situation. Mm-hmm. But anyway, well, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm rambling.
I don't call fan art bootleg merchandise. To me, when it's corporatized to some extent, and it's separated from the thumbprint of the artists themselves.
Yeah.
Like if there's somebody who has like a very unique style, like they draw cute little like red button upturned noses, and so all of their versions of characters across 100 different fandoms look like that, then that to me that's fan art. If somebody is producing something that looks just like they're just reproducing logos from a thing and turning them into like stickers or whatever and selling them, like that's
yeah.
And obviously they've never seen the thing. They're just like grabbing the 10 most popular like things, and here's like Loki's helmet on a thing.
Yeah,
like
there's a booth that does that. Yeah, there's a couple of booths that do that where they have like water bottles and canteens and shot glasses, and it's just like Captain America logo, Game of Thrones logos, Steven Universe logo. Like they don't have the license for any of that.
Yeah.
But it's just a bootleg water bottle stand. That's it. It's just bootleg merchandise.
Right. So that to me is pure bootleg. Like if there's some sort of original stamp that you've put on it, like it's not necessarily legal, but I understand you're not making a killing. Like you're obviously not making a killing off of it because it's very much in your style and it doesn't look like it's official merchandise. If you're parading it as official merchandise, that's when it's like I don't really have a sympathy for you. But you know.
Yeah, man. I agree with you. Although, admittedly, the giant booth where it's every single conceivable character they might be able to sell a print of in sort of the same exact style, like pose turning and looking at the camera in the same way. It's the wall of prints, and they all look identical.
Yeah.
That stuff is like...
That does feel kind of corporatized to me.
Yeah, that feels a little... Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nebulous line, but it's a personal line.
NOS Anime... I assume supercharged with Nos, asks, are fan panels dead at Anime Expo? Is that even a big deal for that convention? No, they're not a big deal. There aren't that many of them anymore. AX is such a huge industry show now that the programming this weekend was like 99% industry. There were like four listings under the fan panel thing. Two of them. Maybe there were more than four. Like five or six. Two of them were corporate. Were not corporate, but well, yeah, they were corporate. They were... companies. There's a PR presence.
Right.
Listed as fan panels. Like, the guys making the Vampire Hunter D thing, they were listed as a fan panel.
Right.
So, yeah, it's an industry show. And that doesn't mean, like, a trade show. That means it's, like, a PAX. Mm-hmm. Or San Diego Comic-Con. There's not that many fan panels at San Diego Comic-Con. It's a lot of industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what happens when you have an industry with a lot of money in it. It's pretty cool. Okay, let's see. Poop says, what's your favorite mashup tee from Anime Expo? There's a giant banner of Deadpool on the Game of Thrones throne in the dealer's hall. I saw it every day, and I always shook my head a little bit. All right, final question. Grooven wants to know, can Jake expand on what he didn't like about Rewrite?
I can. So the show starts out with a nightmare sequence of the protagonist like meeting a mysterious girl who then kills him, and then he wakes up and goes to his wacky school where his wacky friend, who is a hardened delinquent who has Chunibyo behaviors, threatens to beat him up, and they exchange really unfunny jokes for like 5 minutes, and then a girl walks in and she has like an eye patch, and then another girl walks in and she's like the student council president, and they exchange like forced exposition about mysterious things happening in the woods at night, and then he has like another nightmare that features that other girl, and it just felt like scenes from the visual novel slapped on, like, and the characters have, here's the thing, June Maeda's characters, they do have some charm. You will never forget Fuko after you've seen that show. You won't forget Fuko from Clannad, but these characters were just like, here's this rote, you know, thing. I feel like a lot of shows like Rewrite, so Rewrite is a 47-minute version of, like, half the anime slate in any given season in 2008, when Bishojo games that were just trying to rip on Jun Maeda's style were, like, every anime. And I thought that was like the nadir of anime. I thought the nadir of anime was that post bubble pop period where most shows that came out were Bishoujo game adaptations, mm-hmm. like Mayoi Neko Overrun or something, which is a show I remember existing that was just like that. And so Rewrite is like, hey, we don't want to go back to those days, and we don't want them to be 47 minutes long. So yeah, that's my take on it.
Yeah. All right, man. That sounds miserable.
It's hard. Oh, and the best part. So after he wakes up from his nightmare, there's some sort of weird sequence where, like, the school door is rattling, like there's something horrible behind it. And I expected the door to open, and there's some generic-looking scorpion rat, you know, with a purple glow around it or something from some RPG, because that's usually what happens. And it opened, and out came these little, like, tiny soldiers with cicada shell-type golden armor, and every last one of the motherfuckers was in CG. So out comes this wave of golden shit CG, and it's like, oh no. It follows him for 3 minutes. I'm like, stop it, I don't want to look at it anymore. What's happening? Why? What year is it? Rewrite is all I can remember. So yeah.
All right, man. All right, guys. Well, listen, that wraps us up. Thanks to everybody in the chat for coming to hang out with us. I'm going to get some rest.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I'm so tired. I'm tripping over my words this whole time. So tired. Anyway, rest for me. We'll see you all next week. Oh, we got some interviews coming up. I'm currently scheduling interviews with our friend Miles from Crunchyroll and the folks from Seven Seas. They're going to come on the show, so that'll be fun. Also planning a return to Super Manga Pals. We're going to have Super Nerds coming up again soon. So, Ancast, you know, episodes of Ancast. All right, guys, have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's our show. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. I'll see you all next week.